Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is good. Apostle Ron, do you mind if I just bring a music stand down? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Worship team was so awesome, man. It's just such a prophetic flow. Before I minister the word, Apostle Ron, what are our time things? Yeah, like you know, what time are we supposed to be done?
We have two ways to talk about that, you know. One is if you have somewhere to go, you're released to go. We usually end up somewhere around 9:30. But the other thing is, how many are willing to just go on heaven's time? Now look at the hands, John, so you know, yeah. Heaven's time, all right? Yeah. And really, if you come to a place where you're excused by the Lord or whatever, you can float out the door. It won't hurt my feelings at all. Might hurt the Lord's feelings, but that's between you and him, amen? So we like to talk about heaven's time.
Okay.
And sometime we go on heaven's time.
Amen.
And so that's where we're going.
Okay.
We're going on heaven's time.
Okay.
That's a dangerous thing.
Thank you.
But we're good.
Okay, that's awesome. I do like to, you know, be respectful of the protocols and the time. And you be led by the Spirit of the Lord. But I believe that I do have a very, very specific word of the Lord for this region. And so I'm just going to disseminate it to you. I do have a message for you, but however this comes out, I think it's more important that we get the word out. Amen. And so I just want to ask that, you know, there's one thing about releasing a prophetic word over a region, over a people. And it's another thing for you to co-labor with that word. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like we all have the same spirit in us. And this is, you know, if you didn't have a prophetic DNA, you wouldn't be here tonight. Correct? And so it's like as the word comes out prophetically, I believe that God's going to quicken understanding and quicken revelation. But what we need to do today is that corporately we need to grab it and apprehend it for the region. Right? It's got to be, it's like we can throw seed like this. Have you ever thrown like grass seed? You know, it's so light. You can throw grass seed like this. And if there's a wind, it'll take the seed and it doesn't go where it's supposed to be planted. And so I believe that God's wanting to release a word here that we're going to grab the seed of this word and quickly get it in the ground, right, on behalf of the body of Christ, okay? Before we go, the word of the Lord says to give honor to whom honor is due. And my wife and I travel a considerable amount, but we never take, we never take a pulpit or begin to speak without giving honor to the resident authority in the house. And so I know that this is a regional gathering, and we just give honor to you, Apostle Ron, and Prophet Terry. I know that Terry's part of the leadership of this, and we just are thankful and grateful to and honored to have the opportunity to come and just lift the sword with you to accomplish what God wants to do. Amen. Okay. It seems like yesterday that we were here, but it was last year, and God spoke quite a bit to you as a region about positional authority in the West Gate. Now, I understand that, you know, you've really apprehended that and that you've taken that as a serious assignment. And I'm so happy to hear that. Part of what I want to just break down it might just be more just impart understanding to this, because if we understand the strategies of the enemy, then we can develop our own strategies and hear the wisdom and the strategy of God to advance. Do you all agree? And it's like, if we're going to prophetically advance and if we're going to apostolically build in those in this region, we need to understand the simplicity of those terms. Amen? And I just want to start there, just kind of like as a foundation. It's like we have a lot of different, how many leaders are here? Just how many pastors, leaders in churches are here? Can I see your hands? So we have a large contingency of leaders here, and I'm sure other ministries that are represented here besides Grace. And so I'll just share this with you, that I was praying one day, and I was just, you know, talking with the Lord about, you know, like, just what's happening in the body of Christ, and I was kind of not frustrated, but just, you know, like wanting to really understand what he's doing with the whole body. You know what I mean? Like the whole body, because he's moving the whole body. And I like what you said, Prophet, about, you know, you were with a Lutheran camp, or no, was it Lutheran? Christian Reform. And it was like you never saw a hunger like that. You know, like, and for our ears, what? They're not apostolic and prophetic. You know what I mean? Like we, and so I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, you know, our DNA and the way that we talk, and I hear so much about apostolic and prophetic, and I was like, Lord, we got Catholics, we got Protestants, we got Anglicans, we got Baptists. Right? We got Christian Reform, we got Lutherans, we got Anglicans, and we got apostolic and prophetics. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, that's right. And I said, we've made it a denomination, haven't we? He said, yep. I said, it's gotten religious, hasn't it? He said, yep. Where we've taken what God is doing in a season, the restoration of the fivefold offices and getting the church healthy and getting leadership positioned in the church the way that it should be, under the title or, you know, presentation of we're apostolic and prophetic, and we've taken it to the point where it's become, you know, it's become more separational than it has become inclusive, and we're apostolic and prophetic. And I said, so, Lord, we've put religion in the mix, haven't we? He said, yes, you have. And I said, okay, well, what do we need to do to fix this? Like, how can we just, like, straighten this out? And he said, it's simple. And what I mean by straighten it out is, I mean, how do we impart a revelation of what God is doing now to everyday saints like me and you? Right? And I know I said last year that there was 120 people in the upper room. Do you remember that? And how many were apostles? 12. So when you do the math, 120 minus 12 equals 108. Who are the other 108? Folks like us. Wives, maybe brothers, uncles, cousins, children. There was 108. But my Bible says that the Holy Spirit fell on all. And my Bible says that they all went down the stairs and out the door, and they all manifested the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. Okay, so how do we translate this into the mechanics of me, you? See, process this word tonight pertaining to yourself. Because if you yourself can apprehend the simplicity of the revelation, now you possess the revelation that you can empower and activate the person sitting next to you. You see? And so, apostolic, prophetic. And I said, okay, Lord, help me understand. And he said, well, what does the word apostle mean? Sent one. Amen. Sent one. Okay, have you been sent?
Yes.
See, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, he said that to all of us. The commissioning, the sending still stands today. So if you're waiting to be sent, you're in disobedience. Right? Just the simplicity of it. If we're saved and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus' commandment was, go ye therefore into your workplace, your soccer field, your hairdresser, your nail salon, the restaurants, you know, wherever you are, go ye therefore into your sphere of influence and preach the gospel. If you're waiting to be sent, you're in disobedience. You already were sent.
Amen?
Amen? Okay, so that would be apostolic, and that's us possessing a mindset that, hey, I'm born again. I have the living God inside of me. All power and authority has been given unto me to cast out devils, do signs, wonders, and miracles, right? I mean, we got all that. We talk about that. It's become route. But we've been sent. Now, what does the word prophet mean? One who hears God's voice. Look it up in the Strong's. One who hears God. Right? Okay, so can I ask you a question? Does anybody here hear God's voice? Right? We all have the capacity to hear God's voice. We all have the capacity to discern the voice of God. So that makes you prophetic. You got that? See, and I'm being remedial on purpose. See, because anything other than this, we've mixed up with tradition and religion and 1,000,000,000 certificates. So we got the body of Christ thinking they can't do nothing unless they've been somewhere and got certificates. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I belong, you know, like, I serve with Bishop Hammond, see, you know, in Christian International, and we're forerunners in training and equipping. So I'm not saying that I don't believe in training and equipping. What I'm saying is this for us today is the Bible says that signs and wonders will follow those that
believe.
All right. So my Bible doesn't say signs and wonders will follow those that believe after we've taken them through foundational teaching, MSG, deliverance counseling, you know, evangelistic outreach training. It doesn't say that. It says signs and wonders will follow those that believe. If it's anything else but that, then we've muddied it with religion and tradition. So, in other words, like, for example, in our youth ministry, these kids are coming. We have a church in the inner city of Buffalo, and the kids come in, and they have, like, we gave them a small building. They have their own building. They got it all. You know, it's like, it's awesome. It's like their own church, and they have so like televisions and lights and black platform and steel trestles and pallets hanging on the wall, and it's really cool. So these kids are coming in high, because, you know, the Christian kids will bring their friends. These kids are coming in right off the street, never been to church before, and this is their introduction to church, is this really cool building. And then they have this off-the-hook, unplugged worship, you know, and it's like kids are getting saved right there in the context of a worship service. Okay, so you got Bobby or, you know, whoever, Deshaun from one of the high schools that came in with one of his friends, and now all of a sudden he's engulfed in the presence and the glory of God, and he's bawling, and he gives his heart to the Lord. That's pretty cool, right? That's awesome. We could cheer and thank God for that. But you see, now the youth pastor will say, Okay, anybody not feeling good tonight? Anybody got a cold? We had one girl that had a broken ankle in a cast. You know, well, casts aren't like they used to be. They're like Velcro and molded boots and that. So anyways, so this is what we do. It's like, okay, Deshaun, you just gave your heart to the Lord? Yeah, he's all excited. That's really cool. Now, do you realize that you could do signs and wonders? You can pray for that. Look, you can pray for that girl right now, and God will heal her ankle. He's like, okay, so go pray for her. All right, well, what do I say? Just say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And so we activate them immediately in signs and wonders and miracles, and we've got unsaved brand new converts are praying for the other kids who has a headache, has a cold, has a broken ankle, and that girl took off her boot and was running around and dancing in that service. And then, in the context of all this, he gets them baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now listen, what am I saying? Because this is going to go with the word. I'm going to release what God has shown me for the region. If we don't apprehend who we are an apostolic prophetic people, but what we are here for is to reform the mindsets that have been imprisoned by religion and tradition. We are apostolic and prophetic by DNA. We were created to be this way. We were created to be this way. Did you hear that? It's not a designation. It's not a destination. It's who you are. You have been sent. You have the capacity to hear God's voice. You have the capacity to lay hands on the sick and see them healed. You have a capacity to cast out devils. You have a capacity to speak in the Holy Spirit. You have a capacity to do signs and wonders. See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the calling of the Holy Spirit, they're given to all. The gifts are given to all for the profit of all. You don't have one gift, you got them all. You don't have one Spirit of God, you got the sevenfold manifold Spirit of God living inside of you. You are apostolic. Why? Because you've been sent. You are prophetic. Why? Because you hear God's voice. Now, can we just cut the rest of the fill in the blank? For real. We just got to, the simplicity of it. Are you with me so far? Okay, so now it's a little while later and I'm agitated. It's like, okay, I got all that. But how come we're not seeing it? How come we're not doing it? It's like, so, and I wasn't like looking at all of you. I was like looking at myself. It's like, I've seen miracles, right? Been a facilitator of whatever God wanted to do as a vessel to be used and seen miracles. We saw one last night. It was really cool. Anyways, so I was like, oh, what are we doing wrong? Teach me how to do it, God. I want to do it. I don't want to just do it every once in a while or when God's presence shows up or, I want to do every day. You did them every day. I want to be like, I want to come out of the upper room. I want to, what are we doing? How do I do it? Can you understand my frustration? And so the Holy Spirit says to me, well, how did my son do them? And I laughed out loud and I was like, is that a trick question? I talk out loud to the Holy Ghost. He's a person. I'm trying to get out of my head. So I don't want to be talking to him in my head. I need to talk to him out loud. He's a person. Amen? That's a pearl. Take that. Begin talking to the Holy Ghost out loud. He's a person. And he's trying to get us out of our self-talk. And our self-talk happens in our head. So I want to step out of myself and talk to the person of the Holy Ghost. That's just a pearl. Okay, so how does my son do it? I'm going, okay, And you know, when you're talking to God, you want to get it right. You know, you want to be, have a nice conversation, right? And it's like, Well, he didn't really, you know, there's no manual. You know, I'm fussing around like that. I said, I got it. He only said what he heard his father say. And then I said, and he only did what he saw his father do. And the whole, and the father says to me, yep, that's it. And I said, Lord, we messed this up too, didn't we? He said, yep. That's the way he talks to me. He said, yep. And I said, we made it. We've tried to formulate it. We made courses. We've made it religious. We've made it traditional. We've made it. He said, yep. And I said, okay, I got it. And now we got to get it to you. And you got to get it to somebody else. You see, reform and revival is not going to happen in a place. I believe that. The Holy Spirit showed me that a number of years ago. There was revivals, one in Toronto, one in Brownsville, one in Pensacola. You know, ones that we're familiar with, modern day revivals. They're there for a while and then they burn out. God is not, see, there's going to be revival, but it's going to be sustained revival that brings reformation. So it's like the simplicity of this for us in this time, and I believe the reason why we're stagnant, the reason why we're not moving the way that we should is that we've overcomplicated it, and we got to get back to the simplicity of the fact that we have the Spirit of God living in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has been sent with the ability to hear God's voice. All we have to do is hear what he says and speak it, see what he does and do it, and signs and wonders and miracles will happen. End of training. I'll sign a certificate if you want. Amen? Now, I'll go back for those that feel a little bit, see, because I'm poking at some religion here who feel like that this is just too simple, and oh no, you just can't send the saints out like that. And that's just irresponsible. And you need to do that. And, you know, and those kind of thinking. And I'm going, you know what? Let me tell you a story. I was a wild kind of young guy. And all of a sudden, I got saved. And I don't have time to say how I got saved. Because I don't really know. Do you understand what I mean? Like, I'm going to tell. I really don't know how and what the exact moment was. I was born and raised Catholic. I was dating a girl that was born again, but, well, her parents were born again, because I wasn't saved. And, well, let's just say, I don't think she was saved either. And I walked in the house, and the Bible was on the table. And let me tell you something. I knew that I was born in Canada. So I knew there was Canadians, and I lived close to the border. I knew there was Americans. So for me, there was Canadians, Americans, and born-agains. They were some kind of race. No, he was a born-again. So the Bible's on the thing. He says, you can't marry my daughter, because I was serious about her. We were getting engaged and going to have a wedding and all that stuff. You can't marry my daughter. Why? Because you're unequally yoked. I'm like, well, what does that mean? He says, well, you're not saved. I said, what's it mean to be saved? He said, well, you got to believe in God the Father. You got to believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and that he died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead. And because he did that, we can have our sins forgiven. I'm going, hallelujah, Mr. Monroe, I must be saved. No, I didn't say hallelujah, but I was like, God, I'm here. Well, that's what I believe. Well, you're not saved. Okay, well, explain it to me again. So he did. And I said, but that's exactly what I believe. For any of you that were born and raised Catholic, that's what they taught us. God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus died on the cross, was raised from the dead. I can still say the Apostles' Creed. It's stuck somewhere in the religious tape. Amen? So it's like, but then he asked me this question, and he was getting agitated and angry with me. And so he says, well, do you read your Bible? And I said, no. And he said, well, there you go. You're not saved. So I got up and I said, well, Mr. Monroe, I believe that the same things that you believe, and I don't believe that God's too happy with this conversation because you're getting really escalated and mad, and I'm leaving. The next day I'm out in my suit. I'm driving by the Catholic Cathedral. I see Bishop Thomas McCarthy on the sign. I pull into the driveway. I was working in business. I remember pinstripe suit, white shirt, red tie. You know how to dress for success in 1975. And I went and knocked on the bishop's office. Like to see the bishop. You can't see the bishop. Why not? You haven't got an appointment. I said, who are you? He said, I'm Father Colley. I'm the chancellor. I said, what's the chancellor? He said, I'm like his right-hand man. I said, you'll do. Can I ask you a question? So he invited me in. I said, how come in all the years of being a Catholic, I'm 23 years old, no one ever told me I was supposed to read the Bible? He said, oh, that's easy. Patted me on the shoulder, started smiling. And he said, well, son, that's easy. Only the priest can interpret the Bible. I said, how come? He said, well, there's so many interpretations, so much this and so much that. The priests are the only ones ordained by God to understand what the Bible says. And I shook his hand. I said, thank you, Father Colley. I went out, got my Mustang, and I knew something was wrong. Amen? So I'm going really fast because I want to get to the Word. That Sunday went to the Baptist church. And I didn't know what Baptist meant, but that's where her parents went. Went to the Baptist church, looked like this church, looked like the inside of a Catholic church. There was a blackboard with the white letters on them that told to him the same hardcover hymnal was the same hymnal that was in the Catholic church. The only thing that was missing was them kneeling things in the front. The guy came in, we stood up. They sang a few songs, we sat down. The guy said some prayers, we stood up. And then the guy came, went over here to that pulpit thing there, made a speech, and then he made a prayer, and then we all stood up, and then we left. And it was like 45 minutes, just like a Catholic. I got in my car and I said, I don't get it. What is the big deal here? This is the same thing as the Catholic Church. The only thing they didn't do was kneel down on the bench. Amen? Are you feeling me here? I was, the next weekend I see Vine Street Pentecostal Church. So I said, well, let me go there. I don't know what Pentecostal means. They have a grand piano, a guitar, and like they had the same blackboard with the same white numbers with the same hardcover hymnal, and they had a grand piano and a rhythm guitar, and they played some songs, but this time the people were standing up and they were going like this. And they were clapping and they seemed to be moving a little bit, and I thought, well, never seen this in the Catholic Church, but same song, I knew the song, I'm singing away, and then the guy came in, you know, we stood up, then we sat down, said some prayers, stood up, the guy made a speech, stood up, sat down, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't understand, this is the same as that church down the street that her dad goes to, and it's the same as the Catholic Church, the only thing different is we don't kneel on the bench. Are you with me so far? So her sister calls me and says, do you want to go to my church on Sunday? I heard you went to my dad's church. I said, okay. Well, where's your church? Well, you know where the Rexall drugstore is over on South Pelham Road? Yeah, I know where that is. Well, just go park in the parking lot there and go in the back door. There's a big steel door on the back. And you just go down the stairs and the church is there. I'm like, okay. I don't know any different. So I went to the Rexall drugstore. I went down the stairs. They were wood stairs, hollow concrete block, cement floor. At the end of the room, there was a one-inch riser that was plywood, and there was a drum kit there. There was a bass guitar there. There was an electric guitar there. There was a Wickenhauser, you know, the kind John Lennon played, the big-bodied guitar. And I'm like, but I recognize that guitar. And I'm walking in. I'm going, wow, this looks like the inside of a bar. And if you ever had a life before Jesus, that's, you know, when you went to the bar, that's what the band looked like when they weren't playing. So I watched these guys come out. One guy's got long hair, they got blue jeans on, and they don't look like church folks, and they start warming up on the guitar. Then all of a sudden this guy, 6 foot two, he's got a mullet, but hair about as long as yours, short on the side, long in the back. He straps on that Wickenhauser, and they start playing, and oh my gosh, it was like they were playing Southern rock, Christian rock, I don't know what you call it, but I remember being there, and I went, oh my God, ZZ Top in church! I kid you not, in about 15 seconds, I was speaking in tongues. See, I got happy in worship. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Out there, they're laughing. They're going like this to one another. They took me for lunch, told me I got baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues and all this stuff. And I didn't understand a word they said, but I've been speaking in tongues ever since. Now, what's my takeaway? What's your takeaway from that? If God could take a guy like me that had been where I had been, put me in a non-denominational, non-traditional environment, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost because there was liberty and freedom in a worship experience, and you know what? They caught me up with the revelation. That's what I'm saying. There's a whole generation out there. They're not going to come in and go to MSG, but they'll come to you. You can go to them. You can get them. You can get them saved. You can get them activated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Catch them up with the revelation as they grow. This is what we need to do. Am I preaching the gospel here? Amen? Okay, that was the foundation. Let's get to the word. See, because if we don't understand that, we can't apprehend the word. Amen? Okay, so this is what the Lord showed me. He showed me this. You're in transition. You've been in transition for quite a while. And the Lord showed me I'll speak to you about transition first. In Exodus 14, now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Phi Haroth and between Migdal and the sea opposite Bel Zephon. And basically, let's paraphrase. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that they will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now listen, God's got a plan for your transition. God has had a plan for the transition of this west gate in this nation. The west gate here of the Great Lakes. I'm telling you, we talked about God has a plan for transition. Now listen, in the place of transition, it's hard. In the place of transition, it's hard. Now God spoke to Moses and said, look, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And I'm going to get some glory here because I'm a little bit perturbed at what he's done to my people. Do you understand that? What God is saying to you right here, the church in this Michigan region, in this area, is he's saying, look, you're in transition. I'm busting you out of the old season and I'm bringing you into the new season. Now, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to harden the hearts of the spiritual principalities over this region, and I'm going to get me some glory for the years of captivity that he's had you in. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. So, now, it goes on in verse 5. And in the interest of time, you all know the story of Exodus. But I'm going to go in here. And I'm going to tell you that the people, now in verse 5, it was told that the king of Egypt, that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? Why did we let these guys go? That we have let Israel go from serving us. So he made ready his chariot and took his people from him. He also took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains of every one of them. And the Lord hardened hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued them, the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Okay, so listen, here's the number one understanding in this season of transition, and this is going to help you with your oppression. When you're in transition and God's moving you to a new place, there's always going to be the pharaohs, the principalities, the strongholds in the region that will dog you, that will follow you in the place of your transition. Amen? So you got to picture this. They're in Egypt, right? But now they're not in Egypt. They're out of Egypt. They got all the diamonds, all the stuff, and they're out of Egypt. But they're making their way towards the river. They're making their way. They're already out of Egypt. I'm saying to you, Michigan, you are already out of Egypt. You're already out. But you see, they're walking, and all of a sudden, they realize that over there, there's chariots. They can see. They were within distance. But God put a pillar up, right? And he put a cloud up. And he separated them. Amen. Are you? So, right? See, you've been moving, and you've got a cloud and a pillar. You got a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But see, what the body of Christ has responded to is the way that they responded. They knew Pharaoh and they knew his chariots and they knew all the army was right over there camped beside them, and they were fussing more about that than they were about the protection that God had issued for them to get out. This is where we're at in transition. And so the people are like, oh, Moses, why did you do this? Why did you do that? You brought us out here for this, blah, blah, blah. And they're murmuring and complaining, and they're just so sad, and they want to go back, and they want to stay in the same place. Understand this in your transition, that you are moving. You are not in the old place. You are moving to the new place. And the enemy and the strongholds and the principality are right there with you. And they're there with you so that they can apprehend your mind and pull you back into what's familiar so that you stay in the place like the jar with the fleas. You're free, but don't go any higher. Are you hearing me, saints? So the people are fussing, and Moses says to the people, don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Amen. Come on. Let's go forward. Okay, so now I'm thinking about this. Okay, so I'm going to say it to us, the church. I'm going to say it to us, the church. Oh, God, right? We're the church. We're a company of believers, I believe, with the apostolic prophetic revelation and understanding of what needs to happen, because we just preambled that. Now I'm going back to that. For the first 15 minutes, we have the understanding and the revelation of how reformation can take place one person at a time with the simplicity of how we just laid that out. See, this is how we're going to bring reform to the church. So here we are, we're moving. And we see in the principalities, the strong men over this region are in the same place that we're at, and they put oppression. Witchcraft is heavier in this area than it's ever been in a long time. It's like so heavy in here that you can't even think and put a sentence together. And it's like oppression, depression, financial hardship, oh, you name it, families, divorce, adultery. It's like the whole, it's all busted loose. Listen, that's nothing but the enemy in the same place of transition with you, trying to get you to come into agreement that it's better in this old place. And it's better if we just stay here in the church. It's better if we just stay where we're at. It's better. We don't need to go any higher. We don't need to demonstrate. We don't need to go out and infiltrate our spheres of influence. It's just better if we stay here. The enemy won't bug us. See, that's his strategy. So, how do we move? This is how we move. We have to change our mindsets. We are in transition. Now, I'm going to tell you something. What we haven't seen, we've seen Pharaoh, we've seen his chariots, we've heard them, we know they're there, we know they're right here, we're afraid they're going to catch us, kill us, destroy us, and so we, you know, and he's pulling us back. But this is what I want us to see. This is where the church is. Moses went to the sea, right? His foot hits the sea, his scepter, whatever went in there first, and the Ark of the Covenant, and that sea splits, and they're on dry ground. Okay, so in your place of transition, open your eyes to see the supernatural miracle working power of God in your place of transition. You see, because they had a supernatural manifestation of a cloud during the day. They had a supernatural manifestation of a pillar of fire by night. They had a supernatural manifestation of, I don't know how many, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet of sea on the left and 34, 50 feet or however deep that was on the right, and they're walking over on dry ground. Come on, they're in transition in the midst of the supernatural power and provision of Almighty God. And we're bawling and squalling, refusing to move, and we're saying, oh God, oh God, oh God. And so God, like, I love this conversation with Moses, because Moses is presenting all this and God's hearing all this, but God says to Moses, I told you right before you left that I was going to harden Pharaoh's heart and I'm going to get some glory here. Now, exactly what I told you is what is happening. So what you crying about? You know, like, what are you crying about? See, so what I believe part of the word for us is that we're in transition. See the supernatural power of God. See the supernatural provision of God. God is not taking us back to the old place. God has made provision for us to get to the new place. The new place is reform. But here's the news. We have already made it to the other side. That's what God is showing me. Now, here's the vision, and here's what I got. Yesterday, I was just minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I saw Lake Michigan. It was like an open vision. It was, and I'm a seer, so I see this stuff all the time, and all I can do is kind of explain it to you. But I saw Lake Michigan, and I saw the hand of the Lord go into the lake, and you gotta see, like, here's St. Joseph's, and here over here is Chicago. That's like the north, the south end of the lake, and like the west part and the east part, and Chicago and St. Joseph's are like parallel to one another. I saw the hand of the Lord go in and out of the lake. It's like it, I was like right there at the lake, and I saw the hand of the Lord lake, and out of the lake came a sword. And I mean, it was as big as the lake. And when it came out of the lake, it was like waves were crashing into the shorelines on both sides. And water was like, it was like being at sight and sound, you know, and they make you feel like you're, the, you know, it was like, it was so magnificent. This sword came up. And it was like, oh, okay, God, what are you saying? Right? And what he showed me was is that he's already at the other side. He showed me that right now in this season that he's pulling the sword out of this lake and he's raised the sword for battle to make the acquisitions of what he's promised for this region. Did you hear that? He said he's pulled his sword out. He's already got the sword out. And just like they got over and across, you know, they circumcised the DNA of the mighty warriors, right? They circumcised that generation, and then they went and they did Jericho. Well, God's already got us. He showed me, he says, I have my sword up for the battle to release what I promised. And I said, okay, so what are you saying to the church? He's saying, it's like this. I'm waiting for them to get to the other side. I I was like, I said, so now I've been in this vision for almost 24 hours now. And I said, so you're waiting for us to get. I said, so you're ahead of us. He said, yeah, I'm ahead of you. Are you hearing this word, Michigan?
Yes.
He says, yes, I'm ahead. He's already pulled it out. And he's like, I am waiting. I am ready. I am armed for battle. I am going to take you into the new place. What I said I would do, I'm going to do. Listen, the battle's not yours. Stand still and see the salvation of our God. All you need to do is hear what I say and do it. All you need to do is see what I'm doing and do the same thing. And my sword is already drawn. And I'm going to bring deliverance. I'm going to bring salvation. I'm going to bring economic reform. I'm going to bring the reformation that I want to bring to this Great Lakes region. And I'm going to do it right here. Now God is saying, I'm already drawing my sword. Can you please get across to the other side?
Hallelujah.
I was like, wow. I'm excited for you guys. I am excited for you guys. So I'm in Apostle Ron's office today. He's showing me a topographical picture. It's three-dimensional of Lake Michigan. And I'm looking at the lowest spot. The deepest spot. It's kind of like two-thirds up the lake, right in the middle. Kind of like where the upper tip of the sword comes up out of the water. And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, how deep is it? It's 938 feet. And so I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about that. And he says, so Lord, Holy Spirit says, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, 9 is the number of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. 3 is the number of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And 8 is the number of new beginnings. And he said, that's good. I said, well, it was pretty simple. He said, but that's exactly what I'm doing. He's saying, I'm taking you with the power and the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, and I am, me, my Son, and my Holy Ghost, I'm with you, and I'm taking you into the place of new beginnings, and the new beginnings represents the deep places you have not been yet. Michigan, we got to get to the other side. And it's simple. It's simple. What God is saying to this region is that you're already moving in the midst of my supernatural provision, but you've put your eyes so hard on Pharaoh and the old season that you've been delayed in getting to the other side. And so the Lord says, break through the mindsets, break through the familiar, let go of the past, and get your boots on the other side. And the Lord says that as your boots hit the other side, you will turn, and those that were your enemies, you will never see again. Now, God is saying to this territory, when you get to the other side, I am going to have my justice. I'm going to have my judgment. Listen, whatever's happened in this region that's trying to raise its head again, all this witchcraft and all these cults and all this stuff that's hidden and buried, all this new age stuff in this area, I mean, it's tangible. You can feel it. They might be in the place of transition with you, but get your boots on the other side, church, and when you do, God's going to swallow them up in the sea, and you're not going to see them anymore. They will not manifest in this territory. They will not manifest in your seed. They will not manifest in your seed seed. This is what God is saying to the church. Get to the other side. Now, the prophetic word here is that the sword of the Lord has already been drawn out of this Great Lakes of Michigan. I mean, he pulled it out. It was as big as the lake. It's like the handles touch Chicago, and the handles touch like St. Joseph's. St. Joseph, get to the other side. And I said, okay, God, this is the last bit, because I could go on, but this is the last bit. And I said, okay, Lord, what's up with the handles? Right? And this is what he showed me. I have to say it right. On the side of Chicago, the Lord said that that is where Pharaoh is represented. And I said, okay, I get it. He said, it's a stronghold. It's a fortress. It's where the ruling spiritual principalities headquarter. And I said, okay, what about St. Joseph? He said, that's like Moses and my people. Are you hearing me? This is so strategic for you in this area. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, this is the West Gate. This is where the watchmen are. This is where the deliverers are, the deliverers like Moses. There's a deliverance anointing here for the territory. The Lord said, there's where the watchmen are. The Lord said, this is where the prophetic word is going to be launched. So now I'm getting, now get the picture strategically. Here you are, God's pulling the sword of the Lord out with the handle in the West Gate. And it's right on this side of the lake. And it's like we're in transition, walking north. Did I get the directions right? Through the lake. Walking north through the lake. The lake is split. The sword is up. God is ready to take this territory into the place that he said it would be. Now, right now, Pharaoh, represented by the strongmen that are headquartered in the Chicago vicinity, are in the same place as Moses, the watchman, the deliverers, and the prophetic voice. And God is saying, keep it moving, keep it moving, keep it moving, because when you get to the other side, I'm taking this Chicago contingency out. Amen? And I believe I need to just qualify this for wherever this is going, because you never know where all this is going right now. God's not angry at Chicago. He's just saying it represents a geographic region where, because of the rebellion and the sin and the foothold, the stronghold of the enemy, it's headquarters. So when God says that I'm going to bring deliverance and freedom, my prophetic word, the watchman, that deliverance anointing, that means our brothers and sisters in Chicago need to get in the river and come with us. Are you feeling me there? And they represent everything else that's bad in this territory. They need to get in the river with God's people. Amen? And so this is what God is saying to the church in this hour. Recognize the simplicity of the assignment of reform. Get together on what you agree on. It doesn't matter what the denomination is. We can all agree that every saint that calls himself after the name of Jesus Christ, that's born again, has the same power that raised Christ from the dead. They have the ability, like the 108ers, to be activated in the supernatural and in the miraculous. And when we get them moving in their spheres of influence, reform will naturally acquiesce to the demonstration of the power of God. See, we got to understand that first. Now understand that God has taken us out of the old place, the demonic strongholds, the oppression, the sin, the way that the enemy is controlled and manipulated, fear and intimidation, that Jezebel spirit co-laboring with a religious spirit that's got the whole spirit bound up. God is saying, I'm going to free you from that Pharaoh. And God is saying, know this, church, I've already got my sword raised. I'm ready to take you in. I'm ready to fulfill the prayers of the ancients. I'm ready to fulfill the prophetic declarations. I'm ready to answer the shed blood of martyrs in this land. I'm ready to do what I said that I was going to do, and I'm doing it now in this hour. So that's it. Sometimes it's a little uncomfortable when you just can only say what he says to say. Because I can't add anything to this. I can't. That's what he's saying for us. Okay, so now what we can do here prophetically is that we can just agree to understand how many have had the Holy Spirit explode this word on your insides? Like you know that you know now. You know the season that we're in. You know exactly where we're at as the body of Christ. You know exactly who's beside us, but you're also very emboldened and very confident. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. For this day you will not see the enemy who's chasing you and who's in the transition with you.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good?
So
if we understand that this is what God is saying to the church, then what we have to do is believe it. Believe the word of the prophets and it will be established. So what we have to do is we have to apprehend this word, each one of us tonight corporately. And let's just make a simple declaration. Yes, God, we receive this word. Yes, God, we understand this word. Yes, God, we're going to apprehend this word. We're going to get this word in the soil and in the very fabric of this geographic region. And as we apprehend this word, you're going to watch over this word, and now you're going to perform it, because we understand exactly what time it is. We understand exactly where we're at. We understand exactly what we're doing. And God, we're with you. We're with the program. We're not going to add to it. We're not going to subtract to it. We're going to get to the other side, and we're going to take the promises that you've declared for this season. Amen. Okay. And we're going to pray that. And I just want to do one other thing. And I believe that it's important. And God said to me earlier that concerning the finances in this region, that he was releasing keys to unlock treasure appointed for this time. He was releasing keys to unlock treasure appointed for this time. And I said, okay, what are the keys? Right? How many know it's good to ask? I just keep it simple with God. If he speaks and I don't understand, or if there's something, he's releasing keys that's going to unlock treasure for this time. Okay, well, that sounds really good, but what are the keys and how do I get it? I want to know these things. Right? What are the keys and how do I get it? So I said, Lord, what are the keys? He said, the keys will be released in your giving. And I said, okay, I get that. I said, so how does this work? He says, when you hear what I say, do what I say, and you'll receive the key to unlock the treasures that I have for you today. Now, that's a word for you personally, and that's a word for the church. That's a word for the church. See, because our ministries need to begin to be distributing our finances as God says so. We got to, like, tell the board, go to McDonald's, because the pastors are in the apostles and the prophets are going to have a meeting and make some decisions. And yeah, we're not going to do the carpet because God said send that $5,000 to such and such a ministry over in Kalamazoo. I'm just, you know, winging it here. In other words, hear what God is saying, do what God says, because when you do that with your money, that money represents a key that's going to unlock treasures that he has set aside for you in this time. Hear the simplicity of the strategy. And so tonight, you might want to just ask God, if you want a key tonight, and I ain't working you for an offering, we never do that, but I'm telling you, and hon, we need to get in on this. It's like, what? Just if God, if you want a key, ask God, what do I give? What do I give to activate this? Because there's treasures that are appointed for you in this time. Now let me tie this together and then I'm going to stop and we'll just make a quick prayer. But you see, when they took Jericho, God's got a sword ready and he's ready to make the first acquisition. But when they took Jericho, God said, all of that comes to me. You can't touch any of it. It comes to me. Now if you study it and you know where it went, all the money, all the gold, all the loot went into the treasuries at Gilgal. Did you hear that? They went into the treasury at Gilgal, and you see, what God was doing was is that the first fruit of the promise, it went into the treasury. Now he had enough in the treasury to finance the rest of their acquisitions. Because he said, from this time on, you can have all of it. So what God did in his wisdom was is that he took the first battle and he took the spoils of that battle. He put it in the treasury, in the army headquarters, and now they had operational capital to continue on their acquisition of the promises that God made. And God said the church is not going to be poor anymore, but the church is going to have to apprehend the keys to unlock what has been hidden for this season. Now those keys are simple. Do what I say with your money and I'll release the keys. Okay? All right. Well, Apostle Ron, do you want to just, we'll just stand and pray and receive this word from the Lord and just, we'll do that. Let's just stand. Is everyone good? Are y'all excited? I am.